Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn how purified olive oil protects against mitochondrial dysfunction, and that can help with Alzheimer's disease and the brain aging. This comes from Justus Liebig University in Germany and published in a main peer review article. That's just one of many that we have to share with you today, all of them today designed to have you live a longer and healthier life. Then I have an original article. I think you'll find it of interest. Please share it with everyone you know because it impacts everyone in this audience. It's an article entitled The Missing Narratives in the Debate on Medicare for All with Richard Gale and myself. So here's what I'm going to share with you. I'm going to share why Bernie Sanders and Cortez and others who want universal health care have the right idea and all the wrong math, all the wrong scholarship. Well, there's zero scholarship they're using, as surprising since they have access to so much. And they use so little. Well, we're providing the scholarship to show you how we can have universal health care. Everyone's covered who wants to be covered. Preventative medicine would be a part of that. Alternative and complementary medicine would be taught in medical schools and part of it. And more people would live exactly the opposite of what Joe Biden just said yesterday. And, oh, by the way, where their program would cost us upwards of anywhere, the low figure is $36 trillion, the high is $60 trillion over 10 years. This would actually save $16 trillion over 10 years. Yeah, no higher taxes, 1,000% better than anything has been discussed with actual scholarship details. Please pass it on. I know that we have people in this audience who are close to Bernie and Cortez. Please see that they get a copy of the article or the discussion of it. Also today, we're going to hear about our girls are not rumors. This is an interesting discussion. I can't play all of it. It's 13 minutes, but I'll play a little bit because you're going to have a little difficult time understanding some of the Irish dialect. But it's about all the suffering that the young girls in Ireland have undergone using the Gardasil vaccine and how it totally destroyed their lives and how the legislator that is backing Gardasil and others are totally compromised and don't want to hear any of this, don't want to change anything, and don't want to acknowledge this suffering that is being brought to all young girls and boys around the world today. I don't think we'll have time for Heather Brooks on her exposing government corruption. We'll get to that in time. But we start with the latest on health and healing. In this regard, according to the news originating from Gleason, Germany, researchers stated that components of the Mediterranean diet, specifically olive oil polyphenols, the chemicals naturally occurring in olive oil, may play a crucial role for the prevention of Alzheimer's disease. And since mitochondrial dysfunction is involved in both brain aging and early Alzheimer's disease, which is a form of dementia, effects of 10 different purified phenolic oils were tested to see which one worked best, which actually made a difference. And they found that the plant metabolites linoleic acid and mammalian metabolic homeovalenic acid were tested in lay language in the extra virgin olive oil. So the takeaway message, have your olive oil, protect your brain, turn off inflammation in the brain, protect yourself from Alzheimer's. From Catholic Longevity Foundation and Mid-American Heart Institute in St. Luke's Hospital, they're saying something that I'm going to be going into great depth, far beyond what they're doing. I'm going to take 2 to 3 hours this Sunday at noon to talk about protecting yourself from RNA viruses of all types, including the flu virus, influenza virus, and the coronavirus, and other viruses. I'll have some other people involved, one just giving the protocols. Please, when you are listening, write down information. We are also supporting every statement with multiple peer-reviewed scientific articles, because there's a lot of nonsense on the internet now about, oh, take lemon juice. No, we've gone through everything that's being promoted out there and separated out that which does work and that does not have any science behind it at all. But here they're saying that a particular type of chemical found in spirulina, for example, and many types of blue-green algae, has shown to mimic the NAPDH oxidase inhibiting activity of unconjugated bilirubin. Well, let's not go into the science, because most people won't understand it. Let's keep it simple. It means that many of the profound antioxidant and anti-inflammatory effects observed when spirulina is taken into the body, that this can help as a strong, a strong activator dealing with anti-inflammatory responses. Well, it turns off inflammation. So that's good news. There are other, you know, things like lipoic acid and sulforaphane from cruciferous vegetables and selenium and glucosamine and ferulic acid and N-acetylcysteine and zinc. Those are all good, but they're not superstars. On Sunday, I'll give you the superstars. By the way, I'm trying to do it definitively. As anyone who listens to me know, I don't like superficial answers. And hence my lectures, even at the retreat, will go on sometimes 3 hours. But boy, when you come out of that lecture, you have information you can use. My last webinar lasted almost 7 hours. I don't know how long this will last, but it's going to be definitive. So if you're going to fly on a plane, no problem. Once you hear what I'm going to suggest you do, shop in a supermarket, yep, and things you wouldn't think about, because I watched it yesterday when I decided to go down to Costco to see what they were doing, and they were handing each person as you walk in the store one little, you know, like I guess it's 4x4 sheet of the antibacterial soap. All right, it's an antibacterial soap. Does it also work as antiviral? And so people I'm watching, they're rubbing their hands as if, okay, I've just rubbed my hands. But you're holding on to a shopping cart that has had thousands of people with their hands on there. And this virus can live for a couple weeks out of the body on surfaces. So the things you wouldn't think about, I'm going to talk about in detail. So there's no reason anyone should foolishly expose themselves to the corona or any other viruses. Therefore, you can travel, you can shop, you can eat in a restaurant if you listen to how I'm suggesting you eat in a restaurant. So let's not become so paranoid that we lose quality of life. Conscious, cautious, preventative, yes. That helps us. That's going to be coming up. So if you want to be a part of that, and I'm only doing it once, so listen in Sunday at noon. We've expanded the bandwidth because we filled up instantly, so now more people can tune in. Go to prn.fm. All about not just the coronavirus, the influenza virus, both for prevention and what happens if you should get it. All right? From the University of South Australia, treating Alzheimer's and genital herpes. Ah, They don't have the protocol that I have helped people reverse herpes with, but they do have one of 31 items, and it works. Curcumin. Curcumin delivers tiny nanoparticles. For years, curry lovers have swarmed by the anti-inflammatory properties of turmeric. But its active compound, which is curcumin, cure, C-U-R, cumin, C-U-M-I-N, curcumin, has long frustrated scientists hoping to validate these claims with clinical studies. Now, mind you, there are thousands upon thousands of studies on curcumin in the peer-reviewed scientific literature. And we have to ask, why is it that more people are not aware that it's not easily absorbed, curcumin? And that's always been kind of a thorn in the side of medical researchers seeking scientific proof that curcumin can successfully treat cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, etc. But now University of South Australia, McMaster University in Canada, and Texas A&M University have shown that curcumin can be delivered effectively in human cells via tiny nanoparticles. This is something new, and the bioavailability went up to about 117%. That's terrific. Now, there are other ways of having a higher bioavailability curcumin. I will discuss that on bioavailability, an article I'm writing now of nutrients. Which nutrients give you the greatest bioavailability? Which nutrients work better when taken in combination with other ones like vitamin C and vitamin E? So I'm glad that they've done that, because curcumin suppresses oxidative stress, helps with inflammation, and is a key in helping with Alzheimer's disease, because it helps remove amyloid beta plaques. These are the small fragments of protein that clump together in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. And the very same delivery method is now being tested to show that curcumin can help prevent the spread of genital herpes. So to treat genital herpes, you need a form of curcumin that is better absorbed. It's all in the absorption. And they're finding that that works. So they're saying that curcumin can stop the genital herpes virus and reduces inflammation and makes it less susceptible to other sexually transmitted diseases. Good. I'm glad that they've done this research. Now, from the University of Cambridge, an article published in the British Medical Journal shows that the more active you are as you're getting older, and you're getting older starting at 27, that's when old age actually begins, but by the time you're 40, 50, or 60, you're way advanced in your aging. But you can help prevent that by increasing your physical fitness levels. If you do that, you reduce your chance of an early death by 50%. 50%. That's huge. So they're suggesting 115 minutes of exercise per week. I'm suggesting 300 minutes minimum. And if you did 150 minutes per week, that significantly cuts the risk of dying over the next 13 years. They had 14,599 men and women in the study. And so good for them. Now, here's the other side of that, and let's see if anyone in the audience can identify with that. You have a loved one who you never thought would get old or sick because they were always so strong and wise and caring and loving. And then one day you start to see it. It starts gradually, forgetting current things but having a very good memory of previous things. They could talk about something 50 years ago. They can't remember what they ate for breakfast. They're forgetting things more rapidly. They'll read something and forget it. They have a hard time reading. They have a hard time sitting through complicated classical music, or they have a hard time sitting through an orchestra. They tend to nod off, and that's not because they're sleepy. It's because it's a way they can disconnect from having to focus their full mind on what they're seeing. Now, this is not everyone. I'm talking about some people. And conversations they don't remember, even if it was just earlier. And you get a little frustrated. And so finally you have that conversation. Shouldn't we see a neurologist and see what's happening? And Sometimes they say yes, other times no, but even if they say yes, it's with reluctance. And in my case, where I remember sitting and having a conversation with my mother and separately with my father and going over all the things that they could easily do, wouldn't be terrible. I even went so far as to hire a person in Parkersburg to deliver organic produce and make him a shake. And all the things he needed would be put in the shake. So I said, all you have to do, what flavor do you like? Chocolate, raspberry, vanilla? Tell me. And that's all you have to do is just drink the shake throughout the day. They still wouldn't do it. And so one day, they had an intervention. Both separately sat down with me and said, we appreciate you have concern for us. But all the vitamins you send us and the books and everything else, have you seen us open any of the books? We're proud of you. We say to our friends, there's my son's best-selling book. I said, but Dad, you've never opened it. He said, no, and we've never opened any of the vitamins. I had sent him $1,000 worth of vitamins. They never did anything with the food that was brought over to him. They never drank a single drink of a shake. And so my mother was the one who says, you have to understand, we smoke because we enjoy it. We've smoked our whole lives since time we were young. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop our social drinking. We're not going to stop eating our diet. We're not going to start exercising. So we feel it would be better if you stop trying to make decisions for us. And I thought, wow, okay, that's not what you want to hear. But my parents were brutally honest when it came to not sugarcoating the truth that you need to hear. So all the way back to New York, I was thinking about that, and I knew what the outcome would be. And sure enough, within 5 years, they were both dead. Both at age 58, 2 years apart, but both dead, 58. But they had set their death date much earlier, because it's not cancer, heart disease, or stroke that kills you. That's a secondary effect. It is your belief systems that ultimately kill you. Changing the belief system is far more difficult than what people imagine. So now, sitting across from me in the office are a couple in their 70s. Memories going, but they can function and talk, and you'd never know them unless you were in the field. And I had my friend Marty Feldman, board-certified neurologist, professor at Mount Sinai, author of over 70 papers published in peer-reviewed literature on neurology, and a longtime friend. And he was sitting on the couch in the back of the room just listening. And it was as if I was talking to my parents. They not only rejected the idea of changing their life, because they were comfortable in it. So everybody wants change, except no hands go up when you say who's going to volunteer to change. That's frustrating. It's frustrating for them. It was certainly frustrating and heart-wrenching for me, because you know that you have to allow a person to fail. You have to allow children to fail. You have to allow them to understand that when you fail, there's a reason, and learn the reason so that you're failing at something becomes a learning step, not just a bruised ego or self-pity or embarrassment. With adults, you have to allow them to fail because there must be the sanctity of their freedom of choice, even when the choice is wrong. And then you have to prepare as best you can, and that's what several of my friends have done. At least four of my friends. One or both parents are now in critical care situations because of they wouldn't make any changes. And all of these four people are very much into health. They've gone through what I went through and a lot of other people have gone through. So here's my question for you. How would you go about, or would you, taking a reticent parent, someone you love and adore, and helping them when they have just told you, stop, my life I'll choose it. And if I die because of my choice, that's my choice, not yours. How would you deal with that? Now, I have ways of dealing with it very constructively. In fact, I do a whole workshop in our retreats on this very topic because it's a common question. But I don't want to share my views now. I want to hear yours. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, we're 20 minutes into the program, and so I read you the article from Cambridge University or University of Cambridge in London, in England, about the older adults who increase fitness because none of these people would exercise. None of them. Not my parents, not any of my close friends' parents. It's very difficult to get older people to exercise, but that in itself could extend them from dying for 13 years if they just did 150 minutes a week. And I start off at 150, immediately go up to almost, well, within a couple of months, 300 minutes, plus a lot of other things. And by the way, from Hunan Agriculture University, L-theanine, thea, T-H-E-A, nine, N-I-N-E, or theanine, A-N-I-N-E, that's amino acid. It attenuates liver aging by inhibiting advanced glycation end products and reverses an imbalance in oxidative stress and inflammation, meaning by taking this simple amino acid L-theanine, and you can get it in green tea, it can help slow down the aging of the liver and protect your liver. And pumpkin seeds can help men with the enlarged prostate. University of Graz in Austria showed this. Taking a handful of pumpkin seeds can make a big difference. This was published in the journal Medicinal Food. So that's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. When we come back, I'd like to hear what you have as a suggestion about dealing with parents who don't want to change, will not change, but you can't have closure. It doesn't work that way. You can't say, okay, and put mom in a home. It doesn't work that way. There are ways of helping them without literally destroying your own life and health, because that frequently happens. You get so stressed. You have no idea the stories. Some are very funny. I mean, funny in a strange way when I hear what they have to go through. Remember, as they get older, they become incontinent. They soil themselves everywhere all the time. And I get the call. I'm not going to, oh, yeah, I can't tell you what they told me, but it's, and I'm just laughing my ass off because it's, I can just visualize that. And because it actually happened with someone I was trying to help. But there are solutions, real solutions. I'm going to take a few of your calls on our voicemail. 862-800-6805, 862-800-6805, if we don't have anyone calling in with their suggestion. Back in a moment.
Hang in there, baby.
We'll make love tonight.
Don't be afraid.
That'll make it all right. I know just how you feel. Gonna hold you tight.
But we've almost got it made. Now that we've caressed, a kiss so warm and tender.
I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world, and I try to address with articles every morning, every afternoon, every evening. Last thing I do before I go to bed around midnight is I post 10, 20 articles. We have more articles on progressive issues, the problems and solutions, than any other site in the world. That's why we get millions of people coming and downloading them. And I downloaded something yesterday that I want you to go to. Well, it's not on PRN, it's on Gary Nall. It's on the Facebook. But it's something that will absolutely touch your heart. I mean, you can't watch this. It's not possible. without this deep, deep sense of empathy. I'm not going to say any more than that. It's there. It's a chimpanzee. And she's dying alone. You'll see this, but then you see something happen. You got to see this, all right? Because I also believe in every day showing pictures and videos that bring our spirits up, that show us how good human beings can be when they're constantly being trashed and bashed. You don't realize how many good people there are, how many people who live a moral and ethical life and share that with others and creatures, even creatures loving other creatures. I put that on all the time because I believe we need that to ground ourselves in the humility of nature. Anyhow, I want to get your feedback on that after you see it. Let's say hello to Rochelle from South Carolina. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, Gary. I'm only listening to you for 47 years.
Don't blame me.
What?
What do you have to share with us, Rochelle?
All right. My suggestion is I empower people. Every day I have a business card made up with GaryNull.com. And I talk about Gary Null every day of my life. And that's what I do. People invariably will tell me what's going on with the family. They're so sad. This one is dying. I have neighbors where I live with dementia. Not my ego, but I do know how to reverse dementia after 47 years of listening. So, I have health writing on homeopathic. Oscillococcinum is my favorite product. I tell them that I'm going to be 70 in April. I have not had the cold or flu for 18 years, and I never take a vaccine. I also share this on Facebook all the time.
Good. Rochelle, one quick question, and thank you for your kind thoughts. I appreciate it. Have you seen people use your advice and help improve their conditions?
Yes, I have.
Good.
Mainly oscillococcinum.
Excellent.
I go around, somebody says they have a saucer. I actually carry...
Hello.
And the next day I'll give them my writing to back it up. And I have people that have said to me many times, I don't worry about colds or flu anymore.
Good for you. Well, you know, the most important gift that we have in life is the gift that we're willing to give for free and charge nothing for it because we know that it's coming, how can I put this? It's coming from love. Not for the need for love. Okay? Thank you very much, Rochelle, from South Carolina. Let's say hello to Bill from New Jersey. Hi, Bill. Your turn. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Gary.
How can we help
you,
Bill?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, you're here.
What I wanted to say is when a parent is at that point in their life where... you know, you're drawing near to the end, and they need to change their ways. What you need to do, what I did was, you leave behind your career, job, whatever it is. You move in with them, and you take care of them. You take them to walk. You take them to the gym. You make their food so that they eat the right food. And if that means leaving your family, which I did for a year, the last year of my father's life, you do that. You don't put them in a home, and you don't put the onus on someone else. Whatever you have to sacrifice, you do it because you owe those people everything. If not for your father and mother, you don't exist. So you take care of them. the way they took care of you when you were a baby. That's what you do.
You're a good son to them. Thank you for sharing that, Bill. People need to hear that. Joan from Newark. Joan, you're the last caller today. Your solutions, please. Hi.
How you doing? I've been following you forever. I love you. I love the work you do. Keep doing what you're doing. I just had to say that. I agree with what Rochelle's doing. Great idea with making those cards. I'm going to do that and carry them around because I give nutritional advice out all the time. With regard to my own mother, who's been to one of your cohorts, by the way, and did very well. But my mother doesn't live with me. She lives with my sister, and I brought my sister to the cohort hoping my sister would change her behavior if she heard you. And I've given her books, and I've taken her to seminars. I can't change my sister, but what I do is I'm responsible for all the food that comes in the house. Our family's gotten together to take care of my mom from different places. And so I control everything my mom eats. And in controlling everything she eats, when she had her last evaluation at age 91 2 weeks ago, the doctor said that her blood work, my mom's blood work, looked better than the doctor's. So my mother does have dementia, and we're working on that. She has no diabetes, no high blood pressure, no high cholesterol. She can walk you into the ground. She still plays a mean game of pinochle. She beats you in checkers every time. So I control, in answer to the question, I just control every morsel of food that she puts in her mouth, including her supplements. And she has dementia, so she just eats it. And so it's working out wonderfully.
Okay, is she still ambulatory? Is she still able to talk?
She still talks. She still plays pinochle. She still walks.
Okay, then she is able to be improved. Why don't you do this? A friend of mine, he doesn't want his name mentioned, but he has had some major health issues that have been corrected, and he's in a position at his age to give back. He's probably in the 0.001% of health. That means he is supremely healthy for his age. He's 82. And I'm going to be starting March 22nd, just a couple weeks, to work with an anti-aging group, and I'm having a subset. And he said, let's help, he and I together will pitch in and pay for the person to come. So you call Luann today, and because you're also committed to helping your parent, your mother at 91, we'll chip in and it'll cost you nothing, and we'll help your mom. How's that?
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate you. And we'll be there.
Good. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Now we're going to share an article, and I'd like for everyone in this audience to share it with each other. We just spoke with a wonderful human being who spent her life trying to help other people. That's very noble. Think of all the people who could spend time helping others, like taking cards. For example, something really simple. Listen to the beginning of every show, generally around 20 minutes. Every single one of the 8 to 15 articles I share each day about how to improve health, I give a citation. So just write down the citation on the card and the summary in lay language of what is said and hand that out. You'd have 100 per week that you could be giving out to people. And I don't care if it's a medical doctor, scientist, whoever it is, it's got a citation from a peer-reviewed literature, from PubMed. It's not quackery. It's not pseudoscience. It's not opinion. It's good quality science supporting healthier measurements. How about that for an idea? In any case, what I'm about to share with you is how we can have universal health care, which is the only humane thing to do if we're really a moral and ethical society and want to see diseases prevented or those who are sick and suffering helped without them going into bankruptcy. The article is entitled The Missing Narratives in the Debate for Medicare for All. The onslaught of misinformation from the corporatist wings of both political parties and the media biases against universal health care are obviously confusing the electorate. This is seemingly evident in this week's Super Tuesday with Joe Biden winning the majority of the states. This confusion leaves citizens bewildered about how they will pay their bills unless a fundamental overhaul of medical insurance is undertaken. More important, what will happen when you're diagnosed with a serious illness and are not fully covered? What are your chances of joining the ranks of 530,000 families that file bankruptcy every year in the United States for medical reasons? According to a study published last year by the American Journal of Public Health, 66.5% of bankruptcies are medically related. In the past, it was rare for people to go bankrupt because they did not have accessible medical care. There was a time in the United States when medicine carried higher standards of ethics. The Hippocratic Oath was respected, and no one was denied medical care because they could not afford it. But that was in the past. Obama's tragedy of an Affordable Care Act, which was written in its entirety by the insurance industry and approved by the medical industrial complex and Big Pharma, which Joseph Biden continues to believe is a successful piece of legislation, has done little to mitigate the increasing financial burden on individuals and families. In fact, quality of health care has steadily declined. Now, with the threats of a coronavirus pandemic, we are learning that we may need to pay for diagnostic testing and very likely treatments ourselves. If you're returning to this country from overseas, you may be forced to pay for the time in quarantine even if you test negative for the virus. And it is certain that the pharmaceutical industry will attempt to capitalize and squeeze every cent out of this pending disaster. These are disaster capitalists in their finest moment, exploit to their benefit. The Democratic Party, in full throttle mode, in its assault to undermine the legitimacy of Bernie Sanders' campaign, is being orchestrated by the insurance and medical industrial complex, which has bought unbridled biases in the coverage across the entirety of mainstream media. The goal is to effectively sustain Obama's failed, disastrous health care efforts. After listening to dozens of commentators on CNN and MSNBC and Fox and the pseudo-health journalists at the New York Times, you would think that Bernie is only offering free stuff to everyone and at enormous cost to the taxpayer. Therefore, to remove Medicare for All from the national dialogue before the November presidential election, the neoliberal forces are uniting behind Biden. Does it tell you anything that Joe Biden has the full support of Wall Street, of the entire banking community throughout the United States, the medical industrial complex, the military industrial complex, big agriculture, big sugar and confectioners, private prison system, charter schools, everyone's on his side. That's correct. That should tell you a lot. But evidently, the people in power in the Democratic establishment, including the Clinton and Obama machine, that's exactly what they want. No one truly knows how much a national universal program will cost. Forecasts for a 10-year program range roughly between, on the lowest end we could find, $13 trillion to as high as $48 trillion. Some, without any support, have said higher. One thing is certain. The math is simple. It would be extremely expensive, and for it to succeed, dramatic infrastructural changes would need to be made throughout the entire system. That conversation is long overdue, but it is not going to happen. Perhaps this is the wrong argument because it's based upon the Democratic Party's deep-seated cognitive dissonance to protect the vested interests of Wall Street's financial community. Biden's allegiance to the credit industry, the military-industrial complex, and the pharmaceutical and agro industries are also tied into this mindset. In effect, the entirety of corporate America and the deep state, its lobbyists and oligarchical billionaires, and their sounding board in the mainstream media are on the side of the scale, while the urgent humanitarian medical needs of average citizens are on the other. All that weighs on the side of Bernie Sanders are the educated adults, unionists, working people, and those who understand climate change and the need for a comprehensive and equitable health care system. And after Super Tuesday's disturbing results, it might not look good for the revolution that must take place across the nation. In part, it may be Sanders' campaign's miscasting the argument that has failed to win over moderate Democrats. Therefore, what do we need? Here's what I'd like for you to share with Bernie Sanders, with Cortez, and all the other people that you can reach out to. First, Medicare for All is doable and affordable. In fact, it can potentially save $1.7 trillion a year by removing from the equation unnecessary and unconscionable profits to private insurance providers and the large mega hospital networks. There is no reason for having so many levels of bureaucracy between direct medical care and the patient. Every industry directly involved in providing treatment and care would continue to profit, but it would be a reasonable profit. Instead, we have a medical industry that is excessively greedy, enough is never enough, and they're eager to take advantage of loopholes in order to milk the system. Right now, $3.5 trillion a year. The problem is that we can have Medicare for All only after we seriously look at what it costs to treat a patient and make efforts to reduce the exorbitant waste that has been programmed into our current system. How is it that a hospital can charge $787 for an adult and $393 for a child for a $1 bag of intravenous saline solution? It's just salt water. Plus an additional $127 to have it administered. Americans spend more on prescription medication than any other developed nation in the world. And still, drug prices have soared 1,000% above the rate of inflation. Daraprim, for example, which is prescribed to fight one of the world's most common parasitical infections that causes toxoplasmosis, can cost you $45,000 a month. That's $750 for a single pill. What does it cost in the manufacturer? $13.50. And yet, nothing stops them. They could be stopped. But both the House and Senate, Democrats and Republicans, are in the pocket, the majority, of Big Pharma. Based upon earlier figures, between 2012 and 15, about $2.6 trillion can be saved by removing bureaucratic waste. This includes $275 billion on private insurance paperwork, $55.6 billion on liability, $471 billion for insurance billing, $140 billion for medical fraud, $210 billion for unnecessary medical testing, $190 billion for wasteful administration services. In fact, back in 2016, the British Medical Journal reported that medical error is the third leading cause of death in the United States. As a result, over $1 trillion is spent on avoiding medical errors. Universal health care will not break the economy. What is breaking the economy is our current broken medical system. Universal quality care is easily within reach, but only after the health of the population is given preference over the healthcare system's vulture capitalism. Then Americans will no longer have to worry about bankruptcy, which further contributes to the stresses associated with ill health. And because they cannot afford the treatments or medications without putting themselves and their family into perpetual debt. Second, providing universal health care does not guarantee that patients will receive quality care. That's a big blind spot that no one talks about. If we are truly honest with ourselves and ask whether the U.S. has the best medical care system, the answer should be a resounding no, we do not. American emergency medicine is exemplary. That works. However, chronic care for treating heart disease, cancer, diabetes, pain management, and neurological conditions like Alzheimer's and dementia are dismal failures. Who says? The entire scientific establishment in hundreds of articles have said so. We have every one of those articles. They have all their statistics, but nothing's done about it. More physicians need to be brought into the system without the anxiety of paying off enormous school debt and being forced to work to exhaustion. Meaning, Bernie Sanders, if president, should be making medical education free, nursing education free. Give them a living wage, a good living wage, right out of medical school so that they have families. When they go into residency and internship, they're not overworked and overstressed and without any money. When they go into medical practice, let them have a minimum of at least 20 minutes per patient or longer. Stop the insurance company to decide what a doctor can prescribe by a coding system that is completely fraudulent and worthless. In return, the doctor agrees, if they choose the free system, that they will cap their salaries at no more than $300,000 a year instead of the million, 2 million, or higher, depending on their specialties. So if the public is going to help them, they must say thank you by capping that expense. Same with nurses. That would flood the system with new people with higher ideals who are not going to have the system corrupted. No lobbyist would be allowed in the medical curriculum or teaching continuing education credits. I know that very well because I've been brought in to teach continuing education credits. Last time was just last year up in California for a whole day. You don't want Big Pharma controlling the practice of medicine, and today that's exactly what they do. Finally, the United States lags far behind in implementing a national preventative program. Very little is being done to prevent diseases shown to be directly related to lifestyle, diet, and toxic conditions in our environment. A viable prevention program would begin by supporting and mandating holistic health programs in our schools, beginning with grade one, and going right through graduate school. Why does offering a school course in how to be healthy and prevent disease seem absurd when it has been shown repeatedly in the scientific literature and efforts in other advanced nations to avoid preventable diseases and further reduce avoidable medical cost? But in order to launch a comprehensive preventative program at a national scale, only respected, educated health consumers should be in charge. No one associated with the current medical establishment. They are too compromised. Entities representing private corporate interests should be prohibited since they are responsible for the medical disasters that now demand our universal health care. If Obamacare, totally corrupt, and the current corporate medical establishment, totally corrupt, were truly effective, there would be no discussion about Medicare for all. Yes, universal health care will be expensive, but we will save $1.7 trillion a year. And we will improve the quality of life and will prevent disease. So I believe it's worth the effort. I'm Gary Noll. This article is available at prn.fm. Please download it and share it with everyone. Now, a few things I'm going to get to. I'm still going to give you a whole discussion on Venezuela. And it's not socialism that destroyed Venezuela. It was misguided attempts by Chavez to put all the economy hinged upon the continuing high price of oil. He had a wonderful program to help the poor. And now our sanctions are what are killing him because of our neopolitics. I'll get into that in great detail. I'm also going to get into Cuba in great detail. But I do want to share a few thoughts about Joe Biden. Things that the average person may not be aware of. Who you vote for is your business. Biden represents the legacies of Clinton and Obama. His stance on issues would be a slight modification of theirs, but essentially the same. He has advocated for cutting Social Security for 40 years. He supported the Patriot Act. He supported the invasions of Afghanistan, the invasions of Iraq. He was chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee for years. And that's the committee that oversees where we invade next, regime changes. As vice president, there was regime change in Libya, Honduras, Ukraine, Syria. All of those. And later, he supported Saudi Arabia's invasion of Yemen. He has taken no credit for any of that, nor has the mainstream media held him accountable, nor will they ask him a question. Do you feel responsible for what Libya has become today, going from the number one nation in health, longevity, education, and freedoms, and success in Africa to dead last? No one has the courage to ask him that question. He supported Obama's National Defense Authorization Act that took away your habeas corpus. His history of poor treatment towards women. Yes, he apologized for. I believe he did that only for political reasons. He voted for the Dodd-Frank Act to reform Wall Street, and that did nothing. And he supported the Clinton's crime bill that adversely affected blacks and Latino youth. He supported NAFTA and the World Trade Organization. And also he supported the Graham-Leach-Bliley bill that repealed Glass-Steagall, allowing Wall Street to become casino capitalism. Early in his career, he was an obstacle for bills to better segregate or integrate schools and stop segregation. He has strong ties with Wall Street banks. He has close connections to the MBNA, now owned by Bank of America. He is the best friend of the credit card companies, which the average credit card percentage now is 22% if you pay on time. Miss a payment or only make a partial payment, and it can jump way up. He has some really, really shaky family business with the Biden family, taking over hedge fund Paradigm Global Advisors, a scheme by Joe's younger brother James to take rich foreign money to fund his earlier presidential campaign. He opposes Medicare for All and claims Obamacare is working. It's not. Also, he does not support climate change as it should be. He still supports the fossil fuel industry. He only acknowledges climate change as a problem. Well, that's what Obama did and Clinton did, but did nothing about it. He supports nuclear. He's wishy-washy on oil and gas drilling. And he sees carbon taxes as a solution. Well, get in line and take a ticket behind Al Gore and Uma Thunberg's entire gigantic group that wants her to be the face of making sure that climate change, billions, trillions of dollars funneled to their companies. He only supports 2 years of college as free. He does not believe in forgiving student debt, which would help the economy. He is against the legalization of marijuana at the federal level. He wants to increase and has seen increasing the defense budget as a priority. And yet, 80% of the entire defense budget, and there's two budgets, above line and below line, together about $1.5 trillion, separately they're around $750 billion, 80% of it's waste, self-dealing, obsolescence, in meaning by the time a contract that was signed 10 years ago comes to fruition, it's already obsolete. And anyone who's seen this knows this. He supports the 5G rollout. And yesterday on our sister stations, I played the 5G rollout, a whole hour on that, to show you that all of you, everyone in the audience, will be adversely affected by 5G. we're going to see a pandemic that will dwarf anything the coronavirus does to people's health when that 5G is fully rolled out in the next 12 months. He supports that. So these are some of the things that he is about. And unless people understand that he's about those things, but it's more than that. Joe Biden has been, he is the one that gave the Republicans just what they wanted, like handing Bush his Iraq war. And like Reagan, throughout his career, he has been obsessed with federal spending and cutting deficits, as was Clinton, who left office with a surplus but left the nation's social welfare network in shambles. When Clinton made the budget's deficit spending a main issue, Biden was his greatest cheerleader. Bernie Sanders tried to push Clinton towards universal health care. Biden was a leading obstacle. There was a Democratic senator named Wofford who sent a Senate letter to Clinton in support of universal health care, and it was Biden who then in the Senate refused to sign it. He proposed early on to have businesses be the experts in giving advice to Congress on how to streamline government agencies and endorsed Clinton's plan to lay off 252,000 federal workers. And when we look at Delaware's horrible environmental record, we filmed down there. We went down and filmed all these people in the Chesapeake Bay. It's devastated. Their lives are turned upside down. The water you can't swim in, can't drink, can't fish from, none of that. Well, there's old Joe Biden. That's his state. And so right now, there's total devastation, and they all blame Biden. But you wouldn't know that from the media. He's the one who supported cuts to the environmental budget, and that imperiled Delaware's rivers and beaches and weakened the state's environmental programs. On Social Security, he suggested raising the retirement age, and he voted to repeal earlier increases in benefits. Biden pressured Clinton to sign a bill in 1993 creating an antitrust exclusion protecting certain ventures from high damage awards. All of those were supported to Biden. He has always claimed to support unions, but his signing NAFTA resulted in the loss of nearly 700,000 U.S. jobs. NAFTA also further weakened the power of unions. Bernie, on the other hand, always opposed NAFTA, and during congressional debates on NAFTA said it was a bad deal for American workers. He was right. And as a Democrat, Biden has always raised issues of welfare for the needy, but never committed to this rhetoric, never. He called on Congress to require all welfare recipients to sign a contract in which they agree to work in exchange for their benefits. In 1995, he was among a minority of Democrat senators who voted in favor of Gingrich's radical overhaul of welfare. He always went to bat for the large credit companies, especially MBNA, which is headquartered in Delaware. Most notable in his support of the reform bankruptcy law that favored the credit card industry. On issues of reforming credit, Biden, more often than not, voted alongside Republicans. He voted along Republicans for the Bankruptcy Abuse Prevention and Consumer Protection Act of 2005. It was another disaster for the American working class, even as households remained buried under mountains of debt, fewer filed for bankruptcy, deterred by bureaucratic hoops and higher costs ushered in by the law, and that increasing in credit card fees, increase in interest rates and prices, all of which the bill's proponents swore would drop once the law went into effect. They lied. In the 1970s, while claiming to be a champion of civil liberties, he was consistently against busing. In 1977, Ingleton Biden Amendment, which barred the Department of Health and Education Welfare from using its funding for busing, became the bane of existence for civil rights activists and school administrators around the country. Oh, and why doesn't someone challenge him on wanting to repeal the abortion laws? Yeah, Roe versus Wade. He permitted some of the hard right justices, such as Anthony Kennedy, to get into the Supreme Court. And at Republicans' behest, he did everything humanly possible to undermine Anita Hill's testimony before the Clarence Thomas sexual harassment. Biden also has a long history of taking aim at entitlements like Social Security, which is not an entitlement. Government doesn't give a penny to it. We do. A program of enormous importance to African Americans, and which large numbers of black Americans rely upon to survive. Jesse, and well, we're out of time. At least I've given you something to consider before everybody hails him as the next best thing, and he's not. But that's for you to make your call on. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we, baby? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit there.